yourself. Then maybe you'll listen to your conscience.
You pig. In the particular valley, the carriage.
I got no strings to hold me down, to make me red or make me brown. I had strings, but now I'm free. There are no strings on me. Hi, ho, the merry old. That's the only way to be. I want the world to know. Nothing ever worries me. I got no strings.
Let me go look again. But I told you, huh?
Hello, and welcome to Book Versus Movie. This is a podcast where we read books that have been adapted into movies, and then we try to decide which we like better, the book or the movie. I am Margot P. of ColoniaBook.com, and this is my good friend and co-host, Margot D. of Brooklyn Fit Chick.
Hi, everyone.
So for those of you who are new, this is a podcast where, as the name suggests, we watch movies that have been adapted from books. We talk about them. We're not really necessarily experts in either. We're doing a special kind of thing for this pandemic time, which is coming up on 2 years. You know, where we do a brand new episode every single week. And usually like the last quarter of the year, we try to do theme months. Like for October, we do spooky movies. For December, we do holiday movies. We decided this year for November, we're going to do an all Disney November. So we've done Beauty and the Beast and Sleeping Beauty. And we're diverging from the beauty theme.
And the princesses.
And the princesses. And we're going to be talking about Pinocchio, which was the follow-up to the very first Disney animated movie, Snow White. Before we get to that, if you are new to the podcast, you want to learn more about us or interact with other listeners, there are several places where you can do that on the internet.
Yes, we do have a basic Facebook page. Be sure to like it. All the episodes are posted there, but we also have a private Facebook group, which is a great place for people to discuss episodes, either the ones we've already done or ideas for newer episodes. We try to stick with things that are pretty easy to get. So something you can get on Kindle or the Libby app would be preferred. It could be a magazine article, though. It could be a song, anything. And then the movie itself has to be something streamable. So just keep those things in mind. It has to be something pretty easy for us to get. We are on Twitter and Instagram. You spell out Book Versus a Movie. Our private Facebook group, by the way, is Book VS Movie Podcast Group. And our email, if you want to send suggestions or if you would like some stickers for merch, it's Book Versus Movie Podcast, spelled it all out, at gmail.com.
Yeah, I got today's book on the Libby app from my county library. So very, very easy to find. This movie is very easy to find. It's been adapted many, many times. We are talking, of course, about the classic Pinocchio. Did we mention Patreon?
No, let's mention that just really quickly.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
We've had the show for 7 years now, and we have some of our early episodes up on our Patreon wall. A lot of apps only go back a couple of years, and that's why we started doing it. It's also just for us, it's just a way to have a little extra money in order to put the show on, you know, the podcasting fees, the hosting fees, things like that, the books and movies. So if you want to, you go to Patreon and you ask to join. We have a couple of very affordable levels. We're putting everything from 2019 and previous to that up on the wall. But like I said, lots of stuff there that's free if you just want to check it out first. And I want to thank Catherine for joining the Patreon group. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Catherine. Welcome. I hadn't read this book in many, many, many years. I had read it when I was a kid. I don't know about you, Margot. I'm excited to talk about this book, and I'm excited to talk about this author, let alone the movie and other stuff adaptation-wise. But I still feel like, even after like diving into the world of Pinocchio this week, as though I'm missing a lot. Like, I can't help but feel that there's a lot of satire, you know, that's contemporary stuff going on that I'm not getting. Very much like when we talked about Alice in Wonderland, mm-hmm. and how there are a lot of cultural references, a lot of like political skewering that's happening in that story that we don't necessarily, you know or relate to today. So I sort of feel like that's going on here a lot. And it's just going over my head.
Most likely so. First of all, it's in Italian. It's Carlo Collodi. He was born Carlo Lorenzini, 1826 in Florence. He made his home in Florence. So that I believe that's where the story takes place. I've never been to Florence. Have you?
I have been to Florence. I've been to Italy quite a bit. Spent a lot of time there. And Pinocchio is everywhere. I mean, he is as much a part of Italian culture as pasta and wine and opera, I would say.
Gotcha. He started writing this story in the 1840s. He's like many of our authors, he wrote for magazines and then he did a series of them and then they collect them together to make it into a book. This is a story about a man who creates a wooden child, you know, a marionette who wants to become a real boy. He goes on a series of adventures. It's been, it's one of the most translated books in the history of publishing, up there with the Bible. It's
that's amazing.
Shocked
right?
me. I know. Because it's good.
It's a book. Yeah, but it's just a book that just captures people's imagination for some reason. I mean, not that I'm not like baffled by it. It's very interesting and there's lots of themes and great stuff. Carlo Collodi was, actually, that's not his real name, is it? It's something else.
No, I sent it.
It was Carlo Lorenzini, right?
Lorenzini, yep.
Right. Was a journalist. He was like a political journalist. And much like, oh gosh, I'm sorry, I'm so blanking on names. I was just telling Margo before we got on the air that I had my COVID booster a couple of days ago, and I'm still a little bit loopy from it.
And
just
I've
a little confused.
Been fighting a cold last couple of days, so I'm just like on my Theraflu juice.
Was it the Sleeping Beauty author? Who was the author? One of the authors we've already done this month was also like a journalist, had this whole like long political career kind
yes.
of, and then like after they retired, wrote a classic children's fairy tale.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So he's in that vein.
Yes.
He had this whole amazing career, life in politics and served in the military and all of that. And then, you know, later in life wrote this apparently timeless, globally beloved story.
And it's a story about a child and wanting a child and being a parent and teach, and that children are, I guess, naturally. Pinocchio is a real pain in the ass. That's what I'm going to say.
He's terrible. My daughter and I were talking about it last night, and she was saying how, unlike any of the adaptations, I mean, I would say in all of any adaptation I've ever seen, he's much nicer and sweeter than he is in the book. In the book, according to my daughter, he's like, F everybody, especially you, Dad.
Yeah. Thank you for the legs. Here. Bye. And just takes off. And it's funny because the author was not a big fan of children. And thought that he must have been Catholic because there's a lot of Catholic themes going on here.
There's a lot of retribution.
Jonah and the whale.
Morality and yes, biblical things. And I agree. Or at the very least, of course, living in late 19th century Italy, I mean, Catholic culture is the culture. And so, yeah, it's very that.
Yeah. It's a story about a man whose his name is Geppetto. And when they tease him, they call him something else. It's like,
yeah, it starts out with a completely different woodcutter guy who's working in his workshop. His name is Mastro something. Mm-hmm. And he's working in his workshop and he's about to chop into this block of wood. And the block of wood's like, no, don't chop me. And the guy's like, I need to get this piece of wood out of here. What can I do with it? Oh, I know. I'll unload it on Geppetto. And so Geppetto is a wood carver, but he's also sort of a figure of fun in his village. People tease him and he's known for having a very short temper. He has a nickname that they call him has something to do with his wig, right? He has a wig.
Right. The wig resembles something weird and blonde-ish. And they call him by, it's like a dessert or something like that. And they call him by that. And he's older and he's a little daft. And he's just a little, and he has this, he's going to create a table leg with this wood. And then as he's carving the wood, he realizes, oh, this wood's really talking to me. I should make a boy so then I have some companionship. And then he carves this boy. And as soon as Pinocchio, and that's his name, Pinocchio, as soon as he gets legs, he's like, bye, Papa. Arrivederci. And just takes off out the door and is on these series of adventures. And one of the first things that happens to him is there's a talking cricket who says to him, you know, you need to be nice and sweet and good to your dad. Like that's he's the morality of this story. He's trying to say to him, do that. And Pinocchio throws a hammer at him and kills him.
Yeah, he kills the cricket like right away. Which is hilarious. Pinocchio, P-I-N-O, Pino means pine, Occhio means eye. So he's like, everything's pine, and including his eyes. I actually saw the Disney Pinocchio in Italian in Italy. And I was shocked to learn that in Italy, Jiminy, who we know as Jiminy Cricket, and Jiminy Cricket in America is like is shorthand for somebody's conscience, right? Uh-huh. When you're supposed to, you're, that little voice that tells you right and wrong. In Italian, he is called Grillo Parlante, which literally just means talking cricket. And that's what everybody calls him, talking cricket. And he's a beloved character who gets killed like in the first scene.
He kills him right away. And it's, when you read the story, it's like, I'd say 180 pages-ish.
It's not that long, but that boy, long. Is it jam-packed. It is action-packed.
Action-packed, like just every page, he's doing something. And he keeps running away from his father. And the spirit of this cricket enters his life as morality to say, to give him his lessons. You need to be kind. You need to be sweet. You need not to lie. You need to be a good person. And you need to go to school. A good boy goes to school. And he's like, I don't want school. That's for losers. And so he gets caught up in like the circus for a little while. And there's like a group of marionettes.
Yeah, there's this whole puppet scene master. Where he goes to a puppet show. And the marionettes on the stage are like, look, the marionettes are somehow also sentient. And they're like, oh my gosh, there's a puppet in the audience and he has no strings. Come up on stage. And they hug him. And then they tell him like, get out of here, because the puppet master is going to snatch you up and you'll be stuck in the show. Lots and lots of adventures. And the thing about Pinocchio in the book, unlike Pinocchio in the movie, I mean, I of course grew up with the Disney version. I didn't read the book until I was like 9 or 10. And by then I'd seen the movie who knows how many times. And also, do you remember that Disney television show that used to be on?
The Wonderful World
Magical
of Disney?
World of Disney. Yeah, yeah,
Sundays.
Yeah. And Jiminy Cricket was like the host of that. And so I was very steeped in the Disney version of this story. And so when I read the book when I was like 9 or 10, I had nightmares.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the scene that gave me the nightmares. This is the scene, and it's not in the movie at all. The thing about Pinocchio in the book, he always makes the wrong choice. He's never good. He never considers anybody else's feelings. He always, if it's a choice between running away and staying and doing the right thing, he's good. He's out. He's gone. He's already gone.
Yeah.
So there's this scene where eventually in the movie, who, you know, is the cat in the cat in the, is he a wolf?
There's a cat and a wolf. Yeah.
They take his money and they hang him.
Yeah.
From a tree, like hang him by his neck and leave him there. And originally that was supposed to be the original ending of the book.
That's where he wanted to leave it, because he said the whole point is that kids need to be scared into
That's
behaving.
What happens.
Yeah. There's a point where his feet are taken off and he has to get feet put back on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, because he's always, he never, ever, ever does the right thing. So somebody finds him hanging from the tree and takes him. Oh, let's talk about the Blue Fairy. Let's talk about the first appearance of the Blue Fairy, though. Pinocchio is running and running away from the bad guys. And he comes upon this house and he's banging on the door and banging on the door. Nobody's answering. And finally the window opens up and the blue fairy sticks her head out. And he's like, let me in, let me in. She's like, no, I can't let you in. Well, she says, there's nobody here. And he's like, but you're here. Obviously you're here. He's like, she says, everybody here is dead. And she's like, but he says, I can see you though. You're here. I'm dead too, she says. But when he's hanging from the tree, somebody finds him, takes him down, takes him to the blue fairy. So he's lying there like barely alive. And the blue fairy, this is the scene that gave me the nightmares. The blue fairy says, okay, I've got this medicine here. You need to take this medicine. She has doctors that come and look at him. You need to take this medicine or you're going to go, you're going to die. And he's like, well, is the medicine bitter or is it sweet? And she's like, dude, you're going to die. What do you care? It's going to save your life. Okay, fine. It's bitter. And he's like, well, then I don't want it. I'm not having it. And she goes, okay, well, if you take the medicine, I have some sugar here. You can have the sugar after you take the medicine. And he's terrible. He's like, no, I want the sugar first. Give me the sugar first and then I'll take the medicine. And she goes, okay. She gives him the sugar and he's like, no, I'm not taking the medicine now. Thanks for the sugar though. No. And so then the blue fairy goes, okay, well, you know, that's your choice. And she like claps her hands and these black rabbits come into the room with a coffin. And they're like, yep, we're here for the boy. This thing scared me to death because it is terrifying. The way he describes these rabbits with the coffin, it's so scary. And that finally, you know, scares Pinocchio enough that he finally takes the medicine and he survives. And not that that's the end of his terrible choices. There are many, many more of them to come, right?
Yeah, no, he gets 5 coins at one point and pieces of gold. And he's going to go home and bring it to his father, who's so poor. And by the way, Pinocchio basically had him go to jail because people thought Pinocchio was being abused. He had that happen, but he has these 5 gold coins that he can bring home to his father. And then he gets ripped off by the fox and the cat. And then he gets them back and then he loses them again. He's very, very frustrating. Very, very. And there's a lot of animals doing human things. There's like a.
Yes, there's a lot of anthropomorphized. Yeah. All over the place. There's a snail. There's a lot of talking creatures. But yeah, I mean, even from the get-go, like, when Geppetto first brings him to life, Pinocchio's like, I'm hungry. And Geppetto, first of all, you're a puppet, but okay. And Geppetto's like, well, all I've got is these 3 pears. And Pinocchio's like, great, I'll take those. He goes, okay. And then Pinocchio says, I don't want the peel. Take the peel off. And Geppetto's like, okay. He takes the peel off, you know, whatever. Takes the peel off. And Pinocchio's like, throw those peels away. And Geppetto's like, you know what? I'm not going to, let's just hold on to those for now. Pinocchio eats the pears. He's like, I'm still hungry. Give me those peels.
He's such a brat.
I mean, he's horrible. He's terrible.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it is very much about like bad little children getting their comeuppance.
And I guess, you know, in real life, people don't learn the lesson right away. It takes a little while for it to sink
true
in.
True enough.
Which is true enough, yeah. But, I mean, he just one after the other. There's a big point in the story where in here they talk about, well, there's that one point where he's at the Land of Toys. It's called the Land of Toys in the book, which is where this place where boys can go and be very boisterous and loud and smoke. And
yeah.
And they're turned into donkeys. And then the donkeys are made again, to work.
It's hellish in the book. Like, it's scary and sad in the movie. If you've seen, you know, I'm assuming you've seen Pinocchio. It is a hellscape.
Yes.
In this book. It's so frightening. His friend Lampwick turns into a donkey and I think dies. Doesn't he die? Isn't he worked to death or something?
He's worked to death, but also they tell them like, if you've got a donkey fever, they'll kill you and they'll take your skin and make a drum out of it. There's a lot of like just intense stuff that goes on here. And he continues to travel around and then he finally finds Geppetto and Geppetto's been swallowed by a whale. And then
yes, in the book, it's a shark.
Yeah.
In the book, there's this giant shark that shows up from time. He shows up like 3 or 4 times before we learn that. So Pinocchio Okay, this is, again, totally different. I forget how it happens in the movie suddenly, but in the book, Pinocchio is escaping from the land of toys. He has donkey ears and a donkey tail, and he dives into the ocean, and these fish swim up and eat off his donkey ears and tail.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's how he loses them in the book. And then he also gets swallowed by the shark. He befriends this tuna, and his father is living inside the shark on a shipwreck that the shark has swallowed. And in the book, again, like, it's much darker. It's much more dire. In the book, Geppetto has been living inside this shark, subsisting on what he found on this ship. And he is down to his last morsel of food and his last candle when Pinocchio turns up. And that is really the turning point where Pinocchio finally starts to think about somebody besides himself. But even then, it's a little, you know, he's not 100% there.
He's still got a lesson to learn. I mean, he does rescue Geppetto. And as doing that, the blue fairy says, okay. And it's very quick. The blue fairy just like, okay, you've earned your stripes. You know, you could be a boy now. You could be a real boy now. And he becomes a real boy. And he's like, hey, Papa, I'm a real boy. And then that's it. But he's like, he's such a jerk. And he continually makes dumb mistakes over and over and over again. I mean, he just, it's infuriating.
He just screw your feelings.
Yeah.
Pinocchio has been Pinocchio.
He's kind of Pinocchio. But it's pretty cool. It's a quick read.
It's very fanciful. It is very bizarre. And like I said, you can't help but feel that there's a lot of like, I gotta think there's some like skewering of well-known feet. There's something going on here that I don't get. Is it ruining my enjoyment of the book? No, but I know, like with Alice in Wonderland, that when you know those things, you appreciate them more and they're more fun. But so I feel like I'm missing a lot, but it's great. And I will say too, that something that never struck me before reading this book, it's very interesting reading it as an adult and especially as a parent. Yeah, you do see the morality of it. Like the Catholic morality of it is much more apparent to me than it ever was. But the other thing that kind of jumps out at me with, you know, his series of misadventures, you know, these very eerie scenes of like the blue fairy claiming to be dead, the thing with the snail, like the snail takes 9 hours to answer the door. She's going as fast as she can. And the rabbits, the pallbearer rabbits and all of that stuff, you know, to me now as an adult, it's very much, I can see how there's a through line between this world that Collodi has created, or is it Collodi? Anyway, that he's created to Fellini. It makes perfect sense to me now. You know, when you watch Fellini, if you don't know anything about any of that, you're like, what is this kooky, crazy thing I'm looking at? But it is in fact, you know, just a natural evolution of an aesthetic, you know, a worldview that we're seeing, you know, and probably there's earlier iterations of it, but as far as like the global consciousness of it, this book is really our first glimpse of that kind of Italian sensibility that really blooms in the 20th century. But I mean, it's wonderful. Is it for kids? I'm not so sure.
I don't know. It depends on the kid. That certainly depends on the kid. Well, it gets bought by Disney. Disney has a big hit in 1937 with Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. It's nominated for Academy Awards. It does very well at the box office. And they come up with the idea to produce Pinocchio. And the first couple of versions, he didn't like at all. Walt Disney was very particular. And if he didn't like something, he didn't care if it took you 2 years to make it happen.
Yeah, that thing's not going to live.
But they finally do get around to coming up with a version that they think will work. And that's where we get this movie. And so should we play the trailer now?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here?
Little puppet made of pine, wait.
I can move.
Oh, look, Father!
Well, it's about time!
This was leading up to right to World War II. And even though we hadn't entered the war yet, there was sort of this drive to enter the war. There was also a lot of rallies not to enter the war, but there weren't as many movies being released in Germany or in Asia at the time. And that hurt the box office quite a bit. And this was one of the big economies that America had, was our movies. And so at the time, it wasn't a big hit, but it won the Academy Award for Best Score and Best Song.
It's an amazing score. But so yeah, good. I mean, certainly, although we haven't jumped into World War II just yet. You're right. It's at a time where lines are being drawn, sides are being taken, and frankly, Italy, not on our side,
right?
Necessarily. So that's not surprising to me that like when it, I can imagine the greater culture being like, oh, why do I want to go see some Italian movie?
Right.
But I mean, it's hard to resist this movie. Nevertheless,
it's really good. I have to say, it's much darker than I expected. I mean, there's much to like dive in here, but the Pinocchio, the Pinocchio we see, it's directed by Ben Shamperstein and Hamilton Lusk. And it's this, the face looks very sweet. This Pinocchio, because the other ones you see, like he does have the really long nose and he's kind of all angles. And
yeah, I mean, he looks like he's been carved out of a log.
Yeah.
In the illustrations and other versions of this. But of course he's been Disneyfied here. He looks very much like the boy who voices him, Dickie Jones.
Yeah. And he was the one that was in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Yes, he was a quite a prolific child actor. He was I best remember him in that. I shared this in our Facebook group yesterday. There's a scene, actually he's in a couple of scenes in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, but most notably he's in this, he's the Senate page when Mr. Smith shows up on for his first day, big day at the Senate. And he's got this page that shows him the ropes, takes him around the building, shows him where his desk is and all that. And that page is Dickie Jones, which is also the name of the page. The character's name is also Dickie Jones.
Makes it easier.
Makes it easier. But yeah, I mean, he's adorable. And he has a very, you know, he's interesting. I didn't hear this right away because I didn't know this about him at the time, but I believe he's from Texas. If you listen, you can't hear it so much in Pinocchio, but you can definitely hear it in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. The thing I picked up, but I don't necessarily hear it so much in the Disney version, but he has this like perfect, I mean, it couldn't be a more cherubic, you know, little voice. It's hard to imagine that voice doing the really, really bad things that the Pinocchio in the book does. He's bad, but he's not that bad. Like he's not like, screw you, Dad, I'm hitting the road.
Yeah.
He's trying to be good.
He's mischievous.
Yeah, and
curious.
Oh, go ahead.
And he's also just curious.
Yes, it's mainly that he's curious and his curiosity gets the best of him. And another big thing that's different is we get the Blue Fairy right away. In the book, the Blue Fairy doesn't show up until you're pretty far in before we even hear about the Blue Fairy.
Yeah. We have Cliff Edwards as our Jiminy Cricket. And it's kind of this hobo attire that he has, and then he gets like, she gives him a little bit of a makeover. There's a cat named Figaro that belongs in the house, and there's a Cleo, I think is the name of the fish,
the little goldfish. Yeah,
but he does,
and the animation is so,
oh, it's beautiful,
it's so gorgeous. I mean, I had forgotten how It's even better than in Snow White. And I don't know that it was ever that good again. It's like all the scenes, first of all, like in the beginning, like right off the bat, when you're in Geppetto's workshop and like all of those cuckoo clocks are going off, like that whole sequence is jaw-dropping animation. It's really something. And all the scenes underwater when they're looking for Monstro.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Monstro scenes, I thought, were very scary, really terrifying. I mean, but there's this whole section, like the movie kind of dives you right in. You know, Pinocchio gets out, Geppetto misses him. Pinocchio and Jiminy Cricket kind of find, they're lost and they're finding their way. And he winds up friends with
Lampwick.
Oh boy. When he, and it's, they're going to Pleasure Island. Is that what it's called? Island of Pleasure.
I think it is Pleasure Island as opposed to Treasure Island.
Yeah, as opposed to Treasure Island as opposed to Land of Toys, which is like, and it's something like, well, it's Stromboli is the person that, like, he's first, he does this thing where he's hi, diddly dee, the actor's life for me. This fox and a cat kind of kidnap him on his way to school. He's supposed to go to school. He's got his book and everything. And they pick him up and they're like, oh my God, it's a talking marionette. Let's get him on the road with us. And they put him in a show. And that show is where we meet Stromboli. And Stromboli, quickly you find out, is a real creep. And like, he's very mean. He's very mean tempered. And Pinocchio just tries to like get away from him. So he's escaping from Stromboli and he has Jiminy Cricket with him. And he kind of goes through these series of adventures. One of them being that he meets Lampwick, and then they go to the place called Pleasure Island, which I don't know if you would send a child to that place. That doesn't sound.
You are coming right home with me this minute.
Hey, who's the Beetle?
I gotta put me down.
He's my conscience. He tells me what's right and wrong.
What? You mean to tell me you take orders from a grasshopper? Grasshopper? Look here, you impudent young pup. It wouldn't hurt you to take orders from your grasshopper, your conscience, if you have one.
Yeah, sure. Screwball in a corner pocket.
Why, you young hoodlum, I'll knock your block off. Why, I'll take you apart and put you back together.
Don't hurt him, Jiminy. He's my best friend.
Why, I'll... Your best friend? And what am I? Just your conscience. Okay. That settles it.
But, Jiminy...
You buttered your bread. Now sleep in it.
Hooray! out of yourself. I'm through. This is the end.
But Jiminy, Lampwick says a guy only lives once.
Lampwick.
Come on, come on. Let him go.
I had forgotten how adult Pleasure Island.
Pleasure Island is
wow,
creepy AF. I mean, a lot of the animal imagery is there, but it's a place where stupid little boys are sent. And they're boys that they go in there and they're like, hey, have a cigar. Hey, here's an axe. Break some stuff. There's a house.
Have a beer.
Have a beer. Play pool. And poor Pinocchio gets sucked into it. You know, he's just as gullible as ever. And he gets, when he does that scene where he smokes the cigar and then he makes him like, no, really bring that in. And then he just is, it's like, oh, that poor kid's going to vomit everywhere. He's just so sick. But Lampwick turns, when I was a kid, Lampwick turning into a donkey scared the hell out of me.
It's so frightening. I mean, and the book,
really
we should say, the book is even scarier. It's really, really scary because in the book he dies. But this is a close second. It is awfully scary.
He really is, because all of a sudden he can't talk. He's like begging and begging, like, help me, help me, help me. And he's like, he's transforming into this donkey. And then Pinocchio starts to transform, but then Jiminy gets him out of there. And then they go and they find there's Monstro. Monstro is the big whale.
Yeah. So in the movie, they do a little bit of, you know, they're picking and choosing which parts of the story that they're telling. So they get, like, out of nowhere, like literally out of the sky, they get basically a note from the Blue Fairy telling them that Geppetto has been swallowed by a whale named Monstro. So it's not this big shark. In the book, it's just a big shark. It doesn't have a name. In the movie, it is Monstro the whale, which is great. I mean, it's, the animation, again, is
stunning.
Captivating. Yeah.
He rescues him, and along with Figaro and Cleo, the who are with Geppetto. And the fairy, he finally brings Geppetto home, and the Blue Fairy says, okay, you're not lying anymore. You're being very loyal to your dad. You deserve to be a boy. And then she turns him into a boy, and Geppetto is crying, oh my, and then he's like, dad, why are you crying? He goes, because you're dead. He goes, no, I'm not dead, check it out, I'm a kid. It's really sweet.
My boy. My brave little boy. Prove yourself brave, truthful, and unselfish, and someday you will be a real boy. Awake, Pinocchio. Awake.
Father! What you crying for?
Because you're dead, Pinocchio.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Now lie down.
But, Father, I'm alive, see? And I'm real. I'm a real boy.
You're alive. And you are a real boy.
Yay!
A real life boy. This calls for a celebration. Professor, lots of music!
What can you say? It's heartwarming. The music is amazing. It's all, I mean, it is tens across the board. Everything about this movie is so well done. I have no beefs with it whatsoever. You know, yeah, there's a little like racial insensitivity with the gypsies, perhaps.
There's a few things. Yeah. I mean,
there's a few little things like that.
It's 1940.
It's 1940 and the book is from the 19th century. But it's really good. I mean, it's so beautifully executed, and so well performed. Like the vocal, the casting is, first of all, again, Dickie Jones as Pinocchio. You just instantly love him. You just love him. He's so sweet. And yeah, he's not like Pinocchio in the book. You just want to kick down the stairs right away.
Yes.
He's such a jerk. But Frankie Darrow, who plays Lampwick, he's that kind of a kid. He's the bad kid. He's always going to make the bad choice. Frankie Darrow was a very prolific child actor. He played young. I think he was an adult when he did this role. He was quite short. I mean, he was like 5'4". And so he played very young roles, like way beyond when he was the age to be playing those roles. And then later in life, he became a stuntman. But it's a great like bad kid performance. Like, oh, he's such a bad kid.
He really is. Yeah, I totally loved it too. I mean, the illustrations are beautiful. The animations are beautiful.
Yeah.
The performances are great. The songs are really good. Yeah. And it's just beautifully done. I think they pull out the right things. And I think it's scary as hell in some parts.
It's super scary.
Yeah.
It's not, but then you have these, I can't say that it is, but you have these, like the things that kind of keep it from going too dark. You know, you have Jiminy Cricket. And then Geppetto and of course the Blue Fairy, but really Jiminy Cricket is the kind of leavening agent of the whole thing. Jiminy Cricket, performed by Cliff Edwards, is that what his name was?
Yes.
Who was a huge deal. I had no idea he was such a massive, massive star. He died kind of in obscurity, sadly. He had a lot of struggles with alcoholism and substance abuse in general. But in the 20s and 30s, he was the guy. Had a few hits, you know, you may have heard of, like, I think he's saying Toot Toot Tootsie Goodbye. But his biggest hit was a little tune called Singing in the Rain.
Oh, I remember that. I've heard of it.
Yeah. He's the guy. He's the guy who made that number famous. Like when they do Singing in the Rain, the movie, which was made in like the early 50s or the late 40s. It was a massive hit that everybody knew, but it was his hit. I mean, he was a humongous star. By the time they're doing Pinocchio, you know, he's kind of on the wane. He's not recording that much, but When You Wish Upon a Star. His rendition of When You Wish Upon a Star is so beautiful.
It is.
And obviously, you know, it was so moving to so many people that it's really, that is the song that you associate with Disney. That is the Disney theme, right?
Right.
Even today at the beginning of a Disney movie, you see the Sleeping Beauty castle with Tinkerbell flying over. You hear da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's the song. It's such a great performance.
Yeah.
And then there's Geppetto, played by Christian Rub,
who's R-U-B.
Austrian, not Italian, Austrian. And apparently he gave the crew a few headaches. Did you see that?
He gave the crew a few headaches?
Yeah.
What did he do?
Well, you know, being the late 30s and being that he was Austrian, he apparently would go on and on and on at length about how awesome Hitler was.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, no. No, I didn't know that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no.
He was quite a famous character actor. There was somebody also in the role before him, but they couldn't quite get it. It wasn't likable enough. It was a little too gruff and a little too dark. And so they hired Christian Rube and changed the animation to look a little bit more like him. It does look like him. Oh, I was going to show you this picture. I found this picture. He was a very well-known character actor on stage, I think, and on screen. And he worked in silent movies a lot. And there's a photo of him in this silent movie called Belle of New York. From like 1920, he looks exactly like Geppetto, only he's probably 33.
Okay.
34. He looks way older than he is. But anyway, yeah, he was super into Hitler and wanted everybody to know about it. So to get even with him, the crew, when they were doing the animation capture, what we would call now, the modeling, if you will, on film for the scene in the belly of the whale, Monstro. So they had him on a pretend ship, pretending to be fishing. And the crew, I guess, jostled the crap out of him. This old man. As they were real tired of hearing about his pal Hitler.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
But anyway.
Charles Lindbergh was a fan too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's a weird time, but it is a great performance. I mean, you can't deny that. He's great. He's affable. You know, you feel for him. You believe like he loves this boy, this puppet. It's just a beautiful work of art. It is so complete. And I couldn't believe how much I liked it. Did you look at any of the other versions?
You know, I didn't have the time. I mean, I was going on YouTube to catch little clips here and there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the one with Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Is that who I'm thinking of?
Oh, yeah.
He had a version. Yeah. And then there's the one from the Italian actor who, Roberto Benigni, he did a version. And I think Peter Jackson is doing a version that's coming out on Netflix soon.
Yeah, I read that somewhere too.
Yeah.
I saw the Roberto Benigni one, it's from 2002, I want to say. It's very strange.
He's strange. I find him very strange.
Oh, I love him, but I found this movie, it was too far for me. He's playing Pinocchio. He's like, I don't know, 50.
Yeah.
It's odd. It doesn't quite, to me, it doesn't quite come together. But I did see there's a later one that came out last year, another live action one. It's free on Amazon right now. It's an Italian live action Pinocchio. And Roberto Benigni plays Geppetto. I thought, my daughter didn't like it, but I thought it was very good. Again, I found it very Fellini-esque because it's extremely true to the book. You have him being hanged from the tree. It has all the scenes that are not in the Disney movie. The blue fairy, just like in the book, the blue fairy starts out as a little girl blue fairy, and then she grows into a woman blue fairy. So we have the passage of time. They have the rabbits. You have people dressed up as snails, and the animal characters are there. I thought it was very well done. I really liked it. And the little boy who plays Pinocchio is very good. He's got like makeup to make him look as though he's made of wood. And then of course he turns into a real boy at the end. And Roberto Benigni is absolutely wonderful as Geppetto. Didn't like him as Pinocchio, loved him as Geppetto.
So that makes more sense.
Yeah, much more. It's free on Amazon. Like, he should have played with Geppetto. He could have done it 20 years ago and aged up, you know. But it's very good. It's very, very good, I thought. But anyway, book or movie, what do you think?
I'm going to take the movie.
I am too. It's so beautiful.
It's so gorgeous. I mean,
even now in the 21st century, with all of the technology that we have available to us, you know, Kanye West can materialized his former wife's long gone father in a hologram,
right?
for her birthday. Talking about how awesome he is, but this animation is—I mean, you—it.
Yeah, I know. Words fail.
It's so gorgeous. It's so beautiful, and I love the fact that unlike when we were talking about Sleeping Beauty, where you have kind of different animation styles and they're kind of fighting each other in Sleeping Beauty. In this movie, you have a couple of different animation styles, but they work, they all are blending together like seamlessly. You have some matte work, you have model work, and then you have for the blue fairy, and there was somebody else, but for the blue fairy, let's say, you have this rotoscope method where she is just glowing and
so beautiful
before your very eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet so many girls wanted to be her for Halloween.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
How could you not?
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. I think it's just, I just super enjoyed it. It's all in Disney. If you get the Disney Channel, it's all there.
Yeah. Very easy to get. And the book is super easy. The book, I mean, I would say read it. You know, just like with Alice in Wonderland, there's so much more in the book than there is in the movie. But that Pinocchio is a very bad boy.
Yes. He's frustrating, like, I have to say.
He's not innocent,
yeah.
Bumbling along, you know, with his curiosity getting the best of him. He's willfully terrible. Yeah, he's pretty bad, but in a fun way. So I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I am very excited about our next book and movie that we're going to do.
Yes, we're going to be covering Bedknobs and Broomsticks. It's available on Kindle. It's on the Libby app. It's very easy to get. It's on the Disney Channel. It's streaming everywhere. It's going to be our live action one. So we've been doing a lot of animated ones lately. And this, I think it's more of a mixture, right? There's a little bit of...
I seem to remember that there's a mix of animation and live action in that one. I haven't seen it in a very long time. It's another one that frightened me as a kid.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But I'm okay with it now. I'm totally fine with it.
So, I can't wait to see it again. Yeah. I'm very excited to read it and see it.
And we have some really fun ideas coming up for December. So hold your hats, everybody, for the holidays.
We've had some great listener suggestions. Wow. Thank you, everyone, because we were really running out of ideas.
Thank you so much. Please follow us on all the things. Send us your suggestions. We really appreciate it. If you would like some stickers or other kinds of merch, please send us an email. bookversusmoviepodcast@gmail.com. The Theraflu is starting to fade for me. Margo, where can they find you?
You can find me at coloniabook.com. All of my social media callouts are at She's Not Your Mama. I was going to say, speaking of your other podcast, What a Creep, I want to just say that I thoroughly enjoyed the Bobby Flay episode.
Thank you.
Off topic, but I feel like I have to bring it up. I really, really enjoyed it. It was excellent. One of the better ones, I think. I mean, they're all good.
Yeah.
But I agree with what you kind of said in that episode that it's not, I mean, some of the creeps you cover are really, really evil people.
Yeah.
But it is fun every now and again to have just like a garden variety kind of creep.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just a garden variety creep. And I just was not familiar with him. Like, so I was like, Sonia, really, you're gonna have enough,
but like you had heard things.
Yeah.
You'd heard things, right? Especially
yeah.
like in New York, around New York. Yeah. So that was fun. Anyway, I recommend it. I recommend it, everyone, if you haven't heard
Margo's
other podcast, What a Creep.
And you can find me on social media at Brooklyn Fitchick for Twitter and Instagram. My site is brooklynfitchick.com. Thank you all very much for sticking with us this month of Disney. It's been so much fun. Next week, it'll be Bedknobs and Broomsticks, and we will talk to you then. Thank you so much for listening to the Book vs. Movie podcast. We are a part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more podcasts you will love at frolic.media/podcasts. We follow the hashtags LadyPodSquad and PotterFamily. If you want to support the show, you can go to our Patreon page, go to PATREON, and look for Book vs. Movie podcast. We have a basic Facebook page, but we also have a private Facebook group. Go to Facebook and type in Book vs. Movie Podcast Group if you want to join that. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Book vs. Movie. Spell all those words out. If you'd like to send us an email, it's Book vs. Movie Podcast, spell that all out, @gmail.com. You can follow Margo D at Brooklyn Fitchick on social media, and Margo P at She's Nacho Mama. Thanks so much again for checking out our show, and we'll be back soon with a new episode.
Steps in and sees you through.
your dream.